Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Well, as promised, we're going to lead things off today with the CEO of RCAF USA. His name is Bill Bullard. He's been on this program before, mostly with Mick. I think I had a chance to talk to him before. Bill, how are things? You're out in Montana today, correct? Or are you out somewhere else?
No, I am in Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana. So what's going on in the great state of Montana? Is it a nice cool day there as like it is here?
Actually, a warm day today. We had a rain here a couple days ago, and now it's warmed up a bit.
All right.
Beautiful day, though.
Oh, that's good to hear. All right. Well, let's get into it. A couple of news stories that I wanted to ask you about. The biggest one coming out a few days ago, and just wanted to get your take because I've seen you quoted in a couple of different stories. I know that RCAF USA also put up the story, but last week, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, introduced the Strengthening Antitrust Enforcement for Meatpacking, Senate Bill 2818, to empower antitrust enforcers to break up giant meatpacking and poultry monopolies and place power back in the hands of America's ranchers and farmers who raise livestock. And I think we've been trying to do this for a couple of years now, right? I mean, this is like an ongoing thing.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, let's talk about this particular bill itself, because I know in the next line of the story, you applaud the efforts of Senator Hawley, but kind of take us through what's happening with this particular act and where we've come. I mean, really, in the last, I think America finally learned about this when we had the supply chain issues around COVID, that, hey, there might be a problem here with these four companies controlling almost everything. So kind of walk us through where we're at today.
Well, that's right. There is unprecedented attention being paid to antitrust issues in livestock markets today. And as you correctly said, it's what the public viewed during the COVID. They went to the grocery store and for the first time in history could not buy the meat they needed for their families. And so all levels of government are now intensely focused on antitrust. So the bill that Senator Hawley just introduced is a bill that amends the Packers and Stockyards Act that was passed about 100 years ago. And it was passed for the specific purpose of protecting independent livestock producers from the monopolistic meatpacking industry. And so there's two parts of those protections in the Packers and Stockyards Act. The first part addresses the harms or injuries that could accrue to independent livestock producers. So it prohibits unfair, deceptive, and unjustly discriminatory acts or practices on the part of the packers. It also prohibits unfair or undue preferences or advantages that the packers might provide to one cattle feedlot, for example, but deprive all others. So that's the first part of the protections. The second part is somewhat mirrors our antitrust laws, like the Clayton Act and the Sherman Act that were passed more than 100 years ago. And so what the Hawley bill does is it adds another paragraph to the protections against monopolistic practices. And the Hawley bill specifically focuses on acquisitions and says that we now have, that the bill doesn't say this, but we now have four packers controlling 85% of the fed cattle market, an unprecedented level of concentration in our industry today. And so the Hawley bill will prevent any further acquisitions or mergers of the largest packers. And what they use is they use an index of market concentration, and they call it the it's abbreviated HHI index. And it's simply an index that measures the competitive or the concentration in a marketplace. Much like when you say four packers control 85%, this is just another measure of concentration. And so the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, has a scale, and they say if the index is below 1,500, the market is not concentrated. If the index falls between 1,500 and I think 2,500, the market is moderately concentrated, and any index over 2,500 is deemed to be a highly concentrated market. So the Hawley bill hits the middle, says that if a merger results in an HHI index of 1,800, which falls in the middle of the moderately concentrated range, then the merger or acquisition would be prohibited. And in addition, if a merger would simply increase the HHI index from wherever it is, let's say it's 1,000, it's in the unconcentrated market. Mm. But if the merger acquisition would increase that index by 100 points, that too would be prohibited. Now, in the news release accompanying the actual legislative language that Holly introduced, the news release said that it would be retroactive, that it would could effectively break up the Packers that have an HHI of over 1,800. And so this is a novel approach to the concentration problem. And the problem is that the meat packers are now able to exploit producers on one side of the food supply chain and consumers on the other. This is a novel approach to addressing that, and the approach is stop any further acquisitions or mergers that result in highly moderately concentrated markets, and potentially we don't see that in the legislation, but it says his office says that it will also break up those packers that exceed it. So we looked at what is the national HHI index, and it's about 2,458. So it's just below the highly concentrated level that the Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice recognizes. And so if that's the case, this could be a very profound bill in terms of significantly changing the structure of our current cattle and beef markets, and probably result in a very positive outcome in that you would eliminate the potential for these largest of packers to unlawfully collude. You would eliminate their opportunity to leverage down prices paid to independent producers, and you would have more competition because obviously if you broke them up, there would be more competitors in the market. It's always the case that more competition is good.
Right.
So we look favorably at this legislation, and though it's very short, short and sweet, you might say, it could have huge ramifications for the industry and in a positive way.
Bill, I wonder, though, adding that last piece to it where it would unwind previously accepted mergers, if that would make it more difficult to pass the bill. You know what I mean? It was legal at that point. Now you're going to go back after the fact. Is that? Do you think that makes it harder to pass, or doesn't it make a difference?
No, I believe you're correct that it would make it harder to pass because I think it's hard to pass already. And it's hard to pass because there's still a large element in Congress that believes the bigger is better, that efficient or economies of scale equate to greater efficiencies, and greater efficiencies result in lower prices to consumers. But if you look at what the market's done since 2015, so we're going back, you know, quite a while, we see that consumers have been paying super inflated prices for beef. And at the same time, cattle prices have been stair-stepping downward. So producers were receiving depressed prices at the same time consumers were paying astronomical prices for beef. In fact, they still are. And even though we've seen cattle prices increase recently, they've increased for one reason and one reason only. And that is that we had a huge economic shock delivered to the system. And that shock was a widespread drought that started about the early part of 2021. So we've shrunk our supplies to historically low levels. And as a result, the latent forces of competition in our industry that have not been able to function before are finally unleashed and able to return to cattle producers a more competitive price for the cattle. But yet there's still a disconnect between those cattle prices and the prices that consumers are paying. So this is going to be difficult because even though the facts clearly show that consumers have not been benefited and in fact have been exploited under this theory that you should have economies of scale through largeness, even though the facts show that they're wrong, there's still a large element in Congress that will adhere to that failed theory and make it difficult to pass this legislation. But saying that, we've never had a better opportunity than today to do that. And that, again, is because of the intense focus and concerns that are now being raised as a result of antitrust violations. We've never seen so many private lawsuits. Of course, we're involved in one. We've filed a lawsuit against the four biggest packers, alleging that they artificially depress prices to producers while simultaneously inflating prices to consumers. So all of the elements of success are before us, and we're going to work hard to get this legislation and the many other pieces of legislation that have been filed to address this issue. We want them enacted into law so we could stop witnessing our cattle producers dropping like flies,
right,
exiting the industry, and particularly our small farmer feeders.
I wish I'd have scheduled it for a half an hour. Unfortunately, I got to run here now in a minute or two because I've got like 10 questions yet. I guess the biggest thing, Bill, that disappoints me, I know that there's been some incentivizing trying to get some of the smaller meatpacker companies started, or processors, I should say. And I just had the feeling generally that there was some movement there. But to see that we're still almost at square one where we were a year and a half ago is really irritating. And I think it actually needs to be in the news more that we still have these four companies controlling 80 to 85% of the market and nothing's being done to, I mean, something's being done, but it hasn't been done yet. That's the part that bothers me.
That's right. There's been no structural changes to the marketplace. The only difference is this tremendous economic shock that has been delivered to the system. So once the shock is over, we're likely to return right back where we were. And, you know, when you start these startup packing plants at a time when supplies are historically short, that puts them at a disadvantage just from the get-go. And then if you do not address the anti-competitive and antitrust violations of the largest of packers, it's not a favorable future for these young packers unless changes are made.
Right. Well, we'll have to have you on again, Bill. Thank you so much for popping on. Real quick, do you know when the long title bill, the Strengthening Antitrust Enforcement for Meatpacking Act, do you know when that's going to be voted on or at least starting to move forward?
We do not. It's just not been yet introduced. Many groups and members of Congress are just now analyzing the bill, so it's too early to say when this will be brought up for a hearing, for example.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Bill, thank you so much. I do want to have you on another time because there's a lot of other issues going on, but we appreciate you coming on and at least clarifying what people were seeing in the news this past week.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Again, Bill Bullard, he is the CEO of RCAF USA. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk markets in just a moment.